I've grown a year older. I was telling Frank yesterday I hit my 80th birthday, and I've been having some physical problems. Not only growing older, but some pains and aches here and there. It's good to see each of you. It's good to see Brother Sasser. I met him this morning. And I was telling him when I was in high school, I went to school with a little girl named Peggy Sasser. And I saw her last August at our 60th high school reunion back in North Carolina. It was good to see those folks. They hadn't grown older either. Only me. I've been thinking about what a believer should be. How does the world perceive you and me as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? The subject this morning is such a broad subject that it would take us week after week after week to present the message in a most concise way. I want to begin this morning with Genesis chapter 1. The book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Here in Genesis chapter 1, we have a general view of the creation of man. Now turn to chapter 2 of the book of Genesis and notice verse 7. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Here is the triune God in creation, forming the first man. He used simple means, the dust of the ground. I'm not going to go into what scientists say our body is composed of so many chemicals and minerals, etc. I think we all know that. I want to call your attention to the fact that God said, in our image, after our likeness. We can read that glibly and not get the intent of what the Holy Spirit would have us to grasp. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. The word image, God wanted a representative of him in creation on this earth to have dominion. God wanted a man not only to represent him, but to model him of what God is like. God placed man in an environment that was perfect. God supplied every need of man in that beautiful garden of old. But God gave one prohibition. Of all the trees of the garden, you can freely eat. But there's one tree, and it's termed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Man understood what God was saying. Death had never occurred before. But now God is saying, if you disobey my word, you will die. And we all know from the teaching of Scripture, there are three kinds of death that the Bible mentions. One is physical death. I tell you, I had a mother, a grandmother, a father to die. I had a niece to die. You had relatives to die. And we all know what physical death is. Means. It means that life is separated from the body. We know from this account in the book of Genesis that when God breathed into man the breath of life, man became a living soul. Now the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel chapter 4, when he was speaking to the woman at the well, he said, God is spirit. And we all know that. God is spirit. But here is a man that he has created to represent him in creation. This man, Adam, a living soul. When God breathed into the nostrils, the Hebrew says face, of the man that he formed from the dust of the ground, man received the Spirit of God. Thusly, he became a living being, a living soul that will never, never die. What does God mean? You shall surely die. Means number one, you're growing older like me. In less than 2 years, I've had two pair of glasses. I'm very concerned about my eyesight. I bought a new Bible, a 17-point Bible with larger words, but I can't get used to it. I have to bring my old Bible with me. I can see it better for some reason. But I know that unless the Lord comes back to rapture me home, I will die a physical death. And as you read the Bible closely, when we all came into the world, we came into the world spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. I look at my five-year-old granddaughter. Oh, she's the joy of my life, I tell you. She calls me Papa. She has beautiful blonde hair. And I said, Tammy, look at Papa's hair. I said, one day your hair is going to be like mine unless the Lord comes. She says, no, Papa, I don't want to be bald. You see, I got a bald spot. for me back there. I was preaching one Sunday at the chapel, and my mother-in-law happened to be in the audience. Matter of fact, she tries to come every Sunday to hear me speak at the chapel. I honor the Lord, plus I step on her toes at the same time. But she came up to me, and she said, "Jerry, I got something to say to you." And I figured, oh, boy, she's going to ask me a question about the message. And she said, "I notice you're getting bald." And I said, "Well, Meemaw, thank you for noticing that." I'm growing older. You're growing older. The Lord is coming. If he doesn't come, we are going to experience physical death. We are now, apart from the Lord Jesus, spiritually dead. Paul gives a very good description of that in Ephesians chapter 2. Who we are apart from God. Spiritually dead. That's two types of death. Now the book of the Revelation chapter 20 speaks of another death. It is for those who die or those who go into eternity apart from the life of God. It's called the second death. We know that Adam brought death into the world because Adam disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit. He plunged the whole human race into sin and into spiritual death with the process of physical death looms. Adam, who was to represent God on earth, who was to be the very model of the triune God, spirit, soul, body, failed. Because he believed the lie instead of the truth. Satan had entered, you know this from Genesis 3, tempted the woman, she took of the fruit, and my Bible says that Adam was with her. He knew what was going on. And she took of the fruit, she ate it, nothing happened. It probably tasted good to her. It was good to her sight. And she gave to Adam. He did eat. You know what happened? Sin entered into the world. And death by sin. There's an interesting verse in Romans 5. I want you to turn to it quickly. Now, by the way, I'm just giving you a simple outline here. Romans chapter 5. Verse 14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude or likeness of Adam's transgression. And here's the word. Who is the figure of him that was to come. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was to represent God in creation. He disobeyed the word of God. He brought sin into the world. He brought death into the world. He brought sorrow and shame and suffering and grief. Heartache, deformity. That's what sin does. Sin deforms. God had formed man to represent him. Sin entered and deformed man. We read in Genesis 5, verse 3, that when Seth was born, he was born after the image and likeness of Adam. We all were We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by practice. So Adam did not represent God very well there in that perfect environment. As a matter of fact, his sin brought a curse to that environment. You read Romans chapter 8. Paul says the whole creation waits for the revelation of the sons of God, those who have been redeemed, those whose sins have been forgiven, those who now have the life of God in them. Now, man has tried to reform apart from God. He's tried education. I don't put down education. That's how I earn my living. I went to school all of my life, it seems like. I retired 22 years ago. And as I told one sister, I'm glad I'm out of the system. I was the first one there, the last one to leave, and when I got home, the phone was ringing. A bus had not made it home, or a child was missing, or whatever. Or at 2 o'clock on a Saturday morning, I would get a call from the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. There'd been a break-in at the school, and I told my wife, I said, I got to go. Oh, you can't go over there. I said, well, the superintendent says I'm principal 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If I don't go, he'll send somebody else, and I'll be without a job. I got to go. And so I was tired of that. So in 1996, I decided, well, I've been praying about this. I told my wife. She said, all right, income's going to go down. I said, well, it has to go down. I said, I'm tired. I want to give more to the assembly than to this livelihood of mine. I want the assembly to be prominent in my life. Whereas teachers and children, programs, curriculum, etc., seemed like it was always the first thing. Well, man has tried to reform through education. And Paul would say to Timothy, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Education mostly cannot lead you salvation of the Lord Jesus. Man has tried religion. That is, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the authority. So education, religion, can't give you life that you need from God. God has formed man to represent him. Sin has deformed man and brought in death. Man has tried to reform. Only Christ can transform. And we read these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. A new creature. And Paul says, look, old things have passed away. All that Adam lost, God has put them aside. You do not have to be dominated by sin anymore. God has given you authority over indwelling sin. Your sins have been forgiven you. You have been declared righteous before God. He sees you as one of his children. You are a new creation. Old creation is waiting for the Lord Jesus to come back to call us and to reveal us to all creation. Then things will be set right. Only Christ can transform. And we know what he did. He who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why did he die? Because of Adam's sin, your sins, mine, and the sins of the whole world. He took those sins upon himself. And as our brother read that verse a while ago, from the one of the songs that we sang, you know, I could see that tremendous load of the Lord Jesus bearing in his body on the tree because of my sin. And that man of Calvary has won my heart from me. Now I am to represent God in this life. You as a believer are to represent God in this life. The Lord Jesus told some of his followers back in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and bring glory to the Father in heaven. And Paul would say it like this in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not by reformation, by transformation. It is the gift of God, not of works. God would not have any boasting in heaven. Then Paul would say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And God has ordained all of the things that we are to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the question comes always to my heart, am I representing the Lord Jesus well in my activities, in the assembly, in my social or recreational activities? Do others see the living God in me? I can live for God because he has transformed me. And Paul in closing says this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, let's make a say, I implore you, or I pray you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God's not asking us to die for him, but to live for him. A living sacrifice, holy, that's how we're to live, acceptable to God. In a practical sense. Well, I tell you, the Christian life is an exciting life if we only yield ourselves to his indwelling Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who would lead us into all truth. Let me read those verses from Romans 12, the verses 1 and 2. We see Paul speaking to believers at that day. He's speaking to believers today from this word. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what God expects from us. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May God bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning. I hope I said something that would cause you to search the Scriptures, because it's a vast amount of information that God wants us to learn. But it's the word given to us so that each of us can represent him well in this life. that man of Calvary has won my heart from me. He died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. As our brother has mentioned, you sent your beloved Son. And we read from the sacred scriptures that a body had been prepared for him. God is spirit. Yet he inhabited a body that he might represent you well. And we read that he did your will perfectly. He was obedient unto your word. And Father, this obedience led him to Calvary. In order for mankind to be saved from their sins, he took those sins upon himself. He became our surety. And he hung on that tree after suffering at the hands of sinful men, the creatures that he would die to bring them forgiveness. And Lord, we know that he suffered at your hands, the hands of a holy God who must judge sin. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for your resurrection to show us that there is life after death. And Father, we bless your holy name that one day we shall be like your Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a day of glory that will be. And then you're going to display us, and the earth will rejoice. Thank you, our Father, for all that you have planned for us in the Lord Jesus. In his name we give you thanks and pray. Amen.